This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Well, since my baby left me, well, I found a new place to dwell. Well, it's down at the end of Lonely Street, that heartbreak hotel where I'll be. I'll be just a lonely baby. Well, I'm so lonely. I'll be just so lonely, I could die. Although it's always crowded, you still can find some room for broken-hearted lovers to cry there in the gloom. I'll be so, I'll be just so lonely, baby. I'll be just so lonely. I'll be so lonely, I could die.
Oh yeah, a little bit of Elvis for you on a Friday morning. Can't think of a better voice to listen to on a Friday morning, except maybe mine. Good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am indeed Paul Molloy. I have not left the building. And along with my buddy and my partner, Big Ed. And he is Big Ed. We thank you for joining us on this Friday, August the 7th already. Wow. Moving along, are we not, in this month? In a few minutes, Will Reinhart, Center for Growth, is going to join us. And we're going to talk about TikTok. Now, up until a couple of months ago, I thought that meant a clock. But apparently it is a Chinese social media app. We're going to talk about whether or not it should be banned here in the United States. We're going to also update you on what Donald Trump has just done about it. So stay tuned for that. Also, Ron Ogden, who is the Republican operative for North Pinellas County, is going to join us. We're going to talk on the upcoming races in the August 18th primary. By the way, we're going to be over there at the Republican headquarters in North Pinellas on Tuesday. Ed and I and the great Good Morning Clearwater crew. Oh, yes. Paul and Tracy. Alan will be there. You could not ask for more. So you're going to get on Tuesday from 8 until 11 o'clock, you're going to get our dulcet tones, and we're going to be talking with all kinds of Republicans. We hope to talk with the governor, by the way. So we'll look forward to that, and we'll give you more info on Monday, the day before we do it. But Ron Ogden is going to join us. We're going to talk about some of those races that are coming up, indeed, on August 18th in the Republican primary. And what about this thing? They're trying to get rid of the NRA, the National Rifle Association. Is it about to be legislated out of existence? That is what New York's Attorney General is trying to do. Did you see that? We're going to discuss it. And, you know, we're on our Hollywood kick, which Ed really loves. He begged me to do Hollywood stuff because he likes movies. So we've got the top 10 greatest movie quotes of all time. Ed said he knows what it is. And we'll see if he does. In the meantime, remember, Freedom Works. We are sponsored in part by the best barbershop in Tampa Bay for you men. I'm sorry, women. I don't think I've ever seen a woman in there get a haircut, but I bet they could do it if you wanted to get a nice short haircut, because they're the best. Andrew's Master Barbershop is in Dunedin. It's in the Overcash Plaza. That's just north of State Road 580. I mean, just north on Overcash Drive. But you got to call these days with the pandemic situation. Call first so that they are expecting you. 727-733-3773. Well, we got a lot of things going on here. Boy, do we have a lot coming up. We're going to talk about TikTok in just a few minutes, and there's some news about that. Trump has signed an executive order banning TikTok in 45 days. So we'll talk about all of that a little later. In the meantime, we got the latest jobs figures, and the U.S. economy added 1.8 million jobs last month, July, even as the coronavirus cases seem to be going upwards. The payroll increase that was reported today by the Labor Department, well below the 4.8 million created in June. But also good news on the unemployment rate. It fell to 10.2%, which is down from 11.1% in June. So I've looked at the stock market. You know, the stock market's doing doggone well, despite all of this. Can you imagine if we didn't have the virus, how good it would be? I bet it'd be over 30,000. The Dow Jones is right around 27,000. Come on. I guess they feel we're getting, you know, no matter what, either we're adjusting to the virus and the stock market is not as worried, or they know that things are going to get better, and they feel that the job, because it always comes down to economics and work, so they must feel that in the long run we're adapting, you know.
Can you imagine where everything would be without the virus? I mean, before that, unemployment was way down. Unemployment for African Americans was way down.
The best they've ever had.
The best they've ever had. And
Hispanics.
Just that's why it just makes you think this one single
Asians
thing. Yeah.
And white people.
This one thing derailed everything.
It really did. I can't think of anything worse, maybe than, God forbid, a war with China or something. Mm. That would have made it worse. I mean, this, and in its own way, it is a battle coming from China. I think that Trump has every right to continue to mention the China virus, despite what some people want to say, as if these people think that it just kind of it was an accident. No, it might have been an accident, but it still came from China.
Right.
And they still could have done a lot more to let us know. So anyway, the hiring numbers are pretty good right now. In the meantime, remember you started hearing, well, now that the federal officers are out of the city of Portland, things are going to quiet down. Not so fast. Portland Mayor Ted Wheeler last night condemned the rioters who attempted to set fire to a police precinct and blocked the exits while the cops were still inside. Now that's real nice. You set fire to a building and then you barricade the exits. That's criminal. That's absolutely criminal. So here's what the mayor said. When you commit arson with an accelerant, trying to burn down a building that's occupied by people who you have intentionally trapped inside, you are not demonstrating, you are attempting to commit murder. He said, don't think for a moment that you are, if you are participating in this, that you are not being a prop for the re-election campaign of Donald Trump. How, you know, now the mayor goes immediately to politics. When they're trying to kill people that are police, he goes into politics. He says, don't think for a moment, if you're participating in this, you're not helping Trump, because you absolutely are. You are creating the B-roll film that will be used in ads nationally to help Trump during this campaign. If you don't want to be a part of that, then don't show up. Well, in his way, that's a good motivation not to show up for these people that hate Trump and kind of hate the Constitution and kind of hate businesses and kind of hate stability. What is going on with people that would do that, you know? That really is criminal. People that are barricading a fire-ravaged building, I would lock them up, I think, for their natural life.
And the way they've taken over those streets. You know, if that had been an outside group from outside this country, that would be deemed an act of war.
Yeah. Yeah, it's absolutely disgusting. Disgusting. Okay, we're going to take our break. I cannot wait to talk about this this TikTok and whether or not that app coming from China should be banned in the U.S.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best haircutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Marshall.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on The Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets. From animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back on a Friday morning and delighted to have Will Reinhart joining us. He is a senior research fellow at the Center for Growth and Opportunity. And we're going to talk about this TikTok app, which up until several months ago, I never even knew what it was. But it's a Chinese-owned social media app, and it's very, very popular. I guess you can make videos easily with it, short videos and stuff. So that gets way past what I can do, you know. Ed, you get into that kind of thing a lot.
It's kid-oriented.
Is it? Very popular. And now Donald Trump, President Trump, has issued an executive order. It was issued last night, which would see the social media platform TikTok banned within 45 days. So, Will Reinhart, is Donald Trump doing the right thing by banning TikTok?
That's a really serious and really interesting question, right? I mean, to me, I would prefer that we don't do a straight blanket ban of these apps before we kind of know all the details. I mean, there has been a lot of concerns that the app itself effectively sends information to, you know, Chinese servers. There is obviously some pretty big and important national security questions that are related to all of this. But personally, I mean, there's this really big question, one, if this is even legal. So, you know, because code itself and programming is speech, is a form of speech, there's really big and important questions when it comes to the First Amendment. But also, I mean, just regarding this general conversation we're having around social media, this to me seems to be another competitive player against some of these other, you know, big players like Facebook and like Google and like Twitter. And so taking out this other competitor in the form of TikTok to me seems to be also, you know, that's the competitive pressure that we've wanted on these other companies.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I'm of two minds here, right? I see that there's very serious concerns and we should take these very serious concerns for data and data transfer. But then at the same time, I also have really serious concerns about just doing a blanket ban on this app, because then what about all the other apps that could potentially be banned by the president or a future president?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I just don't know about the precedent that it sets.
Well, I think I'm in the same dilemma that you are. You know, ever since we got something called computers and the internet, we've actually had to look within the framework of free speech that we knew. You know, prior to that, this is a whole new world of free speech. And like you said, do you just ban somebody because you're afraid of what they might do with the data? In this case, there is concern that the Chinese are taking the personal info and using it for nefarious purposes. Now, I can't think of a country right now, with all due respect to China, I can't think of a country that's probably got more people upset with it than that country, for all the things that are going on right now with the pandemic and their you know their efforts in all kinds of other areas as well. And we know about their trying to, you know, take and reproduce stuff that we create here without paying them, you know, stealing our patent work, everything. So when something like this comes along, I think that the public quite naturally sort of falls in line with maybe what the administration is trying to do, you know? But like you said, are we going to, I mean, we're still allowing our trade with China, all kinds of products coming in and out, and we're doing that. It starts to lose its strength, I think, with when you look at the overall picture.
Yes, yes. And to me, I mean, the big question is, you know, as I kind of alluded to earlier and suggested, is, you know, is this legal? And it's kind of unclear. And TikTok, so, you know, obviously this executive order came down late last night, and it doesn't go into effect. You know, it has a timeline, so in 45 days it will go into effect. But effectively, this and also there are currently talks by Microsoft to buy TikTok, so there's that which could also occur. And my assumption is that Microsoft would probably buy them if they could, and then kind of, you know, free them from their tethers, it would seem, because it doesn't really, TikTok seems to be kind of an interesting but an odd play for Microsoft. So, you know, it doesn't really work a lot of their other enterprise technologies. So there's also this question of, you know, can you kind of birth a new company that you know, that also, and to be very honest, there's a whole bunch of questions that were driving India's ban of this of TikTok as well. So India banned TikTok, I believe, about a month ago. So it isn't just the United States that's looking at this. Weirdly, Europe has not really said anything, and the Europeans have not really said anything about TikTok. But it really, you know, this question about, as we've been talking here, this question about the data itself and what the company is doing with the data really is animating these questions and animating these concerns by policymakers around the world. And you're right, it isn't just the United States that's doing this. There are concerns writ large across a number of different jurisdictions and a number of different governments.
We're talking with Will Reinhart. He is a senior research fellow at the Center for Growth and Opportunity. And we're talking about TikTok and national security concerns. Will, the President of the United States has a right to kind of take charge whenever our security is threatened to some extent. Now, there's a very vague line there. You know, we normally think of, you know, protecting us defensively from attack, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But what if you're being attacked via the Internet? Now, here's what they say. The White House. This data threatens to allow the Chinese Communist Party access to Americans' personal and proprietary information, potentially allowing China to track the locations of federal employees and contractors, build dossiers of personal info, and blackmail and conduct corporate espionage. Now, when you hear that, you go, yeah, let's ban it, you know? But we don't know that that's really going on, right?
Yeah, I mean, there have been a lot of reports. There are constant reports about corporate espionage. I mean, I think the most that we know is that there seems to be at least some cases where the app does probably send information back to Chinese servers, but it's unclear exactly what's being sent back, just because the code itself for TikTok is actually quite difficult to parse, even for some of these, you know, pretty advanced programmers. Having talked to a couple of these myself. They say, yeah, it's actually just a really difficult kind of code base, as it's called, to work with. So it's just even kind of unclear, even if you're on the opposite side, you know, if you're looking at what's going on in the program, it's really just unclear what's actually going on within the program itself.
Mm-hmm.
But also it's interesting that you know, TikTok itself has opened up its algorithm, has said that they're going to undergo third-party audits. They are allowing a change in allowing people to see what happens with their content moderation processes. So the other thing that's really interesting about TikTok is that as they're coming under this pressure, they are actually seem to be pretty responsive. They've been pretty quick with the national security reviews in the United States. Like I said, they've been responding by opening up their own, internally their own processes. The company itself also does seem to kind of want to push back against some of the elements in China. And so And then, you know, when you look at China itself, when you look at the, and I forget the name of the CEO, but he himself has been facing a lot of pressure in China as well. And so it's just, we're in this weird sort of international situation, and we're in this kind of a, you know, this year especially has really shown how international data flows can really get caught up in these national security questions. And I don't really know that I have any clear, good answers on what should be done here. And furthermore, I don't know that anyone has any really good, clear answers on what exactly is truly happening behind the scenes with TikTok.
Yeah.
The one thing I would mention in all of this is that there is a review process that's going on by the Treasury. It's called CFIUS Review. So they are doing this, and there has been some push for, you know, for the White House to at least give some sort of briefing on what that CFIUS Review, you know, comes up with. So this is obviously very, you know, secret. There is a lot that's typically included in one of these reviews, and they're typically not made public. But at least having some sort of sense of like, well, the reason why we ban the app is for X, Y, and Z reason, not just because of these kind of more broad concerns that the president lays out. That would be my preference, to at least say exactly what's happening, you know, have a little bit more of a technical discussion, such that the people who do this on a day-to-day basis, myself including, can kind of understand what's going on, and we can try to figure out what the best policy truly is for America.
Yeah, I think we're creating new policies we go along, because all of a sudden, it's not just TikTok. Look at all of these social media platforms, like, the tweets and all of them. We're kind of creating new rules as we go along in terms of censorship, what can or cannot be said on these platforms. And in some ways, this comes down to a censorship as well. Now, the company currently is owned by someone called ByteDance, BYTEDANCE Limited. Do we know what connection they have to the Chinese government?
So ByteDance does seem to have, I mean, most large Chinese corporations are in some way or have some connection with intelligence agencies, especially with these large companies. It is owned by ByteDance, but TikTok itself is not the same. So there's actually two different apps. There is TikTok, which is is for the rest of the world, and obviously there's a whole bunch of users of it. And then there's the Chinese equivalent. So it's, I believe it's Dayan is the name of it. So there, even when you look at the company itself, they've taken very similar codes and a very similar sort of interaction. But what goes on in China is so closed that they have a singular closed app that no one else can access unless you're in China, and then a separate app that the rest of the world uses.
Mm-hmm.
So then the question is, well, do you just split those apps apart, and do you have this kind of the TikTok side become the more international, you know, and it's a much bigger, I mean, it is far bigger than the Chinese equivalent, but the Chinese equivalent, from my understanding, makes more money for ByteDance currently.
Now,
so there's also that internal company tension as well.
Okay. Now, Microsoft is a player here. They might take.
Yes.
They may make a bid and maybe take it.
Mm-hmm.
If they take control of it, I mean, does that like completely cut the cord with any Chinese connection?
That is what the assumption would be: is that you would use that Microsoft would probably be the back-end servers and would integrate and would basically bring most of the data to the United States and kind of localize it, at least in the United States, or you know, something that's compliant with United States law, or something that's located in also within Europe. So, because obviously Microsoft is a multinational, or, you know, a large international company that has data servers everywhere. There's also that sort of benefit as well, that in fact it would, you know, allow the company to continue to grow because it needs to grow its footprint other than in China. So that is the idea. Microsoft would buy it. It would kind of help it integrate within international markets and focus it much, much more on the United States, where it seems that there seems to be a lot of growth. And obviously advertising money in the United States is quite powerful. That's also something that I don't think everyone recognizes, that at least for TikTok itself, as well as Facebook, as well as Google, they make the most money by far in the United States, because we are, you know, consumer driven and a very successful country when it comes to consumers. So the idea would be to shift TikTok towards the United States and really try to capture also the market within the United States.
Right.
So that's also the thing that seems to be happening as well, is that they're trying to become commercial. They just recently started adding advertising. So this was last month they actually ended up opening up an advertising segment within the United States. So they're only now trying to just go for this market.
Yeah.
So it'll be very interesting to see what happens in the next month and a half.
Yeah, and if Trump does indeed try to end up banning them, I would think that someone's going to try to take them to court, whether or not the president...
They're already suing. TikTok is already suing.
Yeah, there you go, right. So
they dropped it this morning, apparently.
Interesting. Well, there you go. So I'll tell you what, these judges... these days are very busy when it comes to the internet.
Yes.
Aren't they? This is really something. Well, I want to thank you very much, Will Reinhart, for joining us. Very, very interesting. Maybe we'll be talking about this again down the road, but thank you for your time.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
All right. Will Reinhart, Center for Growth and Opportunity. Very interesting. We're going to take our break. When we come back, Ron Ogden is going to join us. He's a Republican operative for North Pinellas County. We're going to talk about the upcoming races in the August 18th primary.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barbershop is open for business. The best haircutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen, and I'm the host of Good Morning Clearwater. We are found right here on the Tantalk Network, 1340 AM and 106.1 FM, Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM. We will concentrate on Pinellas County and focus on Clearwater and Clearwater Beach. Weather, traffic, local and national current events, sports, trivia contests, and plenty of giveaways. We want to show the world why Clearwater Beach was voted number one beach in America. Listen up, every Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM to Good Morning Clearwater.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back on a Friday morning. It's a hot one here in Tampa Bay. We need more rain. That's what I would tell you. We need a lot more rain. We're delighted to have Ron Ogden join us. And we've been talking with Ron the last few times because we've got a big primary coming up here in Florida, August the 18th, and next Tuesday, August the 11th, we are delighted to say we are going to be over at the North Pinellas headquarters to be with Ron Ogden, along with our sister show just before us, Good Morning Clearwater. Paul and Tracy Allen will also be there. So we're going to have you're going to have us for 3 hours, Ron, between 8 and 11 o'clock on this coming Tuesday, August the 11th. I don't know if you can put up with it. You better bring your aspirin tablets.
Paul, I look forward to it very, very much. We're looking forward to having all the good folks from WTAN TAN Talks here to help us celebrate democracy a little bit. We're going to have our sign waving. Our volunteers are going to be here. And we hope also that we're going to be able to have some of our good Republican candidates here in Pinellas County that will be able to chat with not only Paul and Tracy, but you too, for a few minutes apiece to tell you a little bit about why they're campaigning and what the future looks forward to.
Yeah, I think I'm really looking forward to it, finding out a little bit more about what is going on. And
we're going to have plenty of cookies and coffee here for everybody that comes.
Well, that sounds good. I love coffee. I mix it with my vodka every morning, and it tastes delicious. So, tell me, Ron, a little bit about what is going on. Now, let me ask you this. This is a primary, and maybe for many people, this will be the first time that they will actually vote since this pandemic. So we're in a brave new world. We don't even know if we're going to have more voting or less voting or whatever, you know. We do here in Florida have mail-in ballots, something that's been in the news recently, and Donald Trump has been talking about. But we are fairly comfortable with the accuracy and the security of our mail-in ballots. Your thoughts, Ron, on the whole process? Are we going to have a big turnout, do you think, on August 18th?
I think we'll have a pretty good turnout. There's down to the south part of the county, of course, there's some Democratic primaries. Up here, we have, countywide, we have three primary races, one for the Pinellas School Board, one for the tax collector, and two for judges here in the 6th Judicial Circuit. So, yeah, I think for a primary, which traditionally are not, you know, really roaring turnouts, I think we'll do pretty well, as a matter of fact. People are really interested this year. They're motivated. They want to get out there.
Do you think there's going to be a big, turnout at the polls as opposed to mailing them in? Do you think more people would rather mail in? Or do you think maybe they'd like to just get out and about?
Well, I think that it's a matter a little bit of your perspective and, you know, your situation with you know, where you are in life. And a lot of folks maybe who are a little bit older, they're kind of torn between the reputed problem with the COVID and how it tends to affect the older people. But at the same time, they traditionally go to the polls as an exercise in civic virtue. They want to go to the polls. They see it's their contribution to democracy, to make the effort to go out there, give themselves an opportunity to think things through and just be part of the process in a real way.
Okay.
And they can do the same thing by mail-in, but it's a little bit different, as you understand.
Right. So, here in Pinellas, I get my ballot, and I guess we've got a choice for the school board on the Republican primary. We've got some people running for the tax collector situation.
Right.
And we got, a couple of judges. So, let's talk a little bit. Go ahead. Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. So I wanted to say, those are the things on the ballot. Are we missing anything? Is there anything further on the ballot that Republicans?
No, for the Republican primary, those are the races that we have to decide on the 18th.
Okay, let's look at the tax collector role. Now, most people, you know, they think of the tax collector when it comes to their vehicle registrations and things like that. I mean, that's what I do. And you write the name on your check of the name of the tax collector and you send it in. But you don't really know too much more about it. Tell us a little bit, if you would, Ron. Is that job like a critical job in the county?
Oh, it's enormously so. It's a highly technical job. And the people, you know, who have been leaders in the tax collector's office are people who are just deeply experienced in knowing all the many facets. You know, besides, you know, your tags and things like that, your annual property payments, property tax payments go there, depending upon your particular situation, issues related to homestead, issues related to school tax. If you're in special taxing districts, that all comes under the heading of the tax collector's office. Then you have matters as diverse as pistol permits and such things that go through there. So it's very technical. And because it's money, you have to make sure that there is that every T is crossed and every I is dotted. You don't want to be getting into the habit of being in any way anything less than extremely diligent about how people's taxes are paid.
Yeah, and you always want to blame the tax collector for those property taxes you pay, right? When they raise the assessed valuation of your home, and then you get your new property tax bill, and then you know, you always hear about people that are upset and want to appeal. And it's got to be quite a process. We're talking with Ron Ogden. And Ron is very much involved in Republican politics in Pinellas County. Let me ask you something personal, Ron. How long have you been involved politically in this?
I first got started with politics here in Pinellas County in 1988. And before that, I had done, actually did some radio work and some newspapering work, and I went to work for a fellow by the name of Jim Frisch down in Pinellas Park, who was, even at that point, he was, you know, young in his career in the Florida House of Representatives. And Jim and I are still good friends 30-some years later. And he went on to become the majority whip in the Florida House, which is an important job. So I've been involved pretty closely now for quite a long time.
So, Ron, is Pinellas County a good indicator of how Florida in general will go? In other words, in terms of Republicans and Democrats, would you say that this is go ahead.
I think that, yes, it is. I think it has to do, it's a geographical situation. In general, South Florida tends to be somewhat more Democratic. North Florida tends to be somewhat, maybe I'll say it differently. South Florida tends to be a little bit more, let's say, liberal or progressive.
Well, they got
North Florida, a little bit more conservative.
Yeah, they got St. Mm-hmm. Petersburg in South Florida. So yeah. South Pinellas. So that alone tells you you're going to have more Democrats, right? And is that the main reason?
Well, they do.
Or what? Is that the main reason they're more Democratic in the southern portion?
Of Pinellas County?
Yeah.
I think it's traditionally they've been a little bit more Democratic down there. But it's gathered steam recently. You know, there have been a lot of Democrats with the presence of Charlie Crist, whom you know, we hope to remove from office later on this year. But for a long time, under the Bill Young era, Bill was a revered congressman for ages and ages, it seems, in Pinellas County, and he was a staunch Republican. And so it's changed recently, but we're going to do the best we can in that congressional district this year to change that back.
So in North Pinellas County, you mentioned it's probably a little more conservative. Which means it's
North Pinellas tends to be a little bit more conservative. It's the strongest, most Republican-oriented part of Pinellas County. Not that there aren't Democratic enclaves up here; there certainly are. But we always feel good about to get out the base here in Pinellas County for our candidates. We really want to do the best job we possibly can in North Pinellas, from Clearwater on north, the Largo area on north, and we feel good this year that we're going to be able to do it.
Can you, as you know, in your situation, Ron, involving Republicans in this county, is there mm-hmm. any way you can get sort of a not a premonition, but a little bit of an idea of how in November how big a turnout maybe we're going to have? Do you sense there's more enthusiasm overall to vote in November?
I absolutely do. You know, I have three volunteers in my office right now who've come in to help us out. We routinely are getting 8 to 10 to 12 people a day to come into our office here in North Pinellas County just to take part. Strictly volunteers. They're of all ages. They're coming for classes. We're learning how to monitor the mail ballot. We're learning how to do all the intricacies of campaigning at every level. The enthusiasm for President Trump is really strong. And, you know, the funny thing is, it's for the entire Trump ticket. And I wanted to, if I could, you have just a couple minutes? I have a friend of mine
sure.
here
yeah.
who's, and her name is Sheila. And she went down to the event for the vice president just the other day. And she wanted to tell you what her experience was. This is Paul.
Okay. Hi, Sheila.
Hi, Paul.
Hi.
I was telling Ron I volunteered at the Pence event. And I was really very surprised and impressed with the fact that there were so many millennials there and parents that brought their young children because she's starting the kids off right. And there was a group that had come from Calvary School in Brandon or Bradenton, I'm not quite sure. But it was really impressive to see so many young people and so much enthusiasm from that. So I was pretty much impressed, and I was telling Ron about that.
Now, that is interesting, and it goes with my question to him about whether or not we're going to have a bigger turnout in November. And you're saying millennials, apparently somewhat enthusiastic yeah. for maybe conservatives like Mike Pence being in town, et cetera. That's interesting. Did you expect that kind of a turnout from that group? Okay.
No, I did not. Ah. I expected the group to be majority over 60, let me put it that way.
Right, the older folk. Right.
Well, yes.
Very, very interesting. Thank you, Sheila. Appreciate that info.
Okay, you have a good day.
All right, dear. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
And
Here's Ron.
And Ron.
Okay, Paul, that was Sheila, and I was just so grateful for her to be willing to come in and talk with you about that. It's a great experience.
Very, very interesting perspective. Ron, we're going to see you. We're going to see you on Tuesday, Big Ed and I, and Paul and Tracy Allen. We're going to be there, and we're looking forward very much to spending the morning there with you. And thank you so very much for coming on to talk a little bit about what is going on in Pinellas.
Okay. We'll be waving our flags and signs, and the coffee pot will be on Tuesday morning.
Oh, one thing, if I might, and Ed mentioned this to me, excuse me for, you want to give us the address of where you're located in case anybody wanted to stop by, et cetera?
Please stop by. Please come out and wave a sign for the president, and the address is 29162 U.S. 19 North. It's on the southbound side of the road. It's just south of Doral Village, right across from Serendipity Mobile Home Park.
Just across from Serendipity Mobile Home Park. All right. We know where it is. Now, we're actually asking for ourselves, Ed and I. Otherwise, we're going to be traipsing up and down 19 trying to figure out which building is it over here, huh?
Right.
So
we'll be waiting for
on
you.
The south
we'll
side.
Be there.
You get that, Ed? Ed? All right, buddy. All right. Thanks, Ron.
Hey, Ron.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Hey, Ron.
Bye-bye. Yeah.
I was just wondering, since Andrew's going to be there and there's a tattoo place next door, what are the chances while we're there Andrew might get a Trump tattoo?
You know what? I went over there and I asked the guy who runs the tattoo shop, and, you know, I'm sure he would be interested. Absolutely. I'll mention it to him again.
Can I get a Nancy Pelosi tattoo?
You might be able to get a Nancy Pelosi tattoo. I don't know what you'd do with it.
Well,
a bullseye with an arrow? Or
I would throw it away, but I just thought I'd add. All right, Ron. Well, thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you.
All right.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye. There he goes. Ron Ogden. Okay. My goodness. We're getting a little funny here in our old age, Ed. All right. Let's take a break. When we come back, the NRA possibly... legislated out of existence? Are you kidding me? We'll talk about it.
Pretty woman walking down the street. Pretty woman, the kind I like to meet.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Listen to Dine Out Radio Herd every Wednesday on the Tantalk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food and Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com. My bridge is all...
Hey, everybody, this is Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We want you to join us on Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock on this radio station for our two-hour show, talking to you about the Word of God, giving you great contemporary music, some lively chat, and just some food for thought. You'll be encouraged to know how very much God loves you and how He has a plan for your life. Join us this coming Sunday at 3 o'clock on Living the Good Life.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
for the final segment on a Friday of Freedom Works. By the way, we are here Mondays, Tuesdays, and Fridays, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Great Tantalk Radio Network. But if you cannot listen to us live, Big Ed sets up all of our shows on podcast, for which we are very grateful. And just go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com. Look for the podcast button. Ed sets up our shows. It'll let you know who the guest is and our top 10. What more could you ask for? Ourfreedomworks.com. Well, so now New York's Attorney General, Letitia James, is trying to sue the NRA out of existence, the National Rifle Association, something she warned that she was going to be doing. She wants to disband it, and the NRA is fighting back. They filed a lawsuit yesterday, basically saying that this is a real political trick by Letitia James. Here's what they say. Despite hopes that playing by the rules would procure a just outcome, the NRA has not been treated fairly by Letitia James' office. The New York Democratic Party political machine seeks to harass, defund, and dismantle the NRA because of what it believes and what it says. Now, James sued the NRA, which, by the way, is headquartered in Fairfax, Virginia. She sued them in an effort to dissolve their group. She says for years they've been self-dealing and engaging in illegal conduct. And they've talked about Wayne LaPierre, who heads the NRA or had headed it, and the fact that he might be getting way, 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 way overpaid for that position, and how much of the money that the NRA gets actually goes into executive salaries. So that's a big sticking point. Now, the lawsuit against the NRA is 166 pages, and it names four NRA executives, including Wayne LaPierre, as the defendants. So we'll see where all of this goes. In the meantime, Donald Trump got out, slammed the suit against the group. He called it a very terrible thing. And he said they ought to move. He said, go move down to Texas rather than up there in Fairfax, Virginia, because it's, you know, that whole area, Fairfax and all around Washington, D.C. That's a tough place to be when you're a conservative organization like the NRA. So we'll see where that goes. Anyway, before we get into our top 10, which we have a great one, Ed, top 10 greatest movie quotes, I was going to ask Ed, who also, aside from running the station and doing the engineering work, is also our sports director. He wears many hats. And I was thinking, Ed, I think that the Tampa Bay Lightning hockey team, I think, is playing tonight. You may know better than me, but if they win one more game, I know this.
Right.
They'll be the top seed in the East.
Yes.
So we're excited. They're 2-0. Are we excited?
Yep, they beat the Bruins.
Yeah, and the Capitals.
And the Capitals.
Those are two tough teams in the East, aren't they?
Yeah. I just hope they didn't peak too soon.
And they've got to get, and they've been doing this without one of their best
Stamkos,
players. Steve Stamkos is not on the ice. So if they can do it without Stamkos, I think that shows how tough they really are, right? Is there anything new on baseball? Lightning? I mean, the Rays?
The Rays are going to attempt to play the Yankees this weekend.
I'm worried the whole thing's going to shut down. I really am.
At this point, I wouldn't mind. With the way the Rays are playing.
Yeah, well,
you know, if they get swept by the Yankees, they're finished.
You think so?
I don't think they can come back from that. In a 60-game season? No.
Yeah, wow.
We're already a sixth of the way through. You know, there's 10 games gone.
So what you're saying is, because I haven't been following them too much, is they're not doing very well so far.
No.
Okay.
Our team that scored a lot of runs last year is missing.
Okay. All right. Well, it's time for you to get on the drums. Ed's a great drum player, too. He's a renaissance man. Let's just be honest. He's a renaissance man. So, Ed, these are the top 10 greatest movie quotes of all time, and you certainly should know. You certainly should know what number one is. I assume you do. But let's find out what the other nine are. Are you ready?
Ready.
Here we go. Number 10. You talking to me?
Joe Pesci, Goodfellas.
Well, you're close, because it was a movie that involved...
Oh, wait a minute. It's not Joe. Robert De Niro?
Yes.
Okay.
Taxi Driver.
Taxi Driver, that's right.
You remember he played Travis Bickle?
Yeah.
He was a scary dude in that movie, yeah. I must tell you. 1976. All right, number nine. Fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be a bumpy night.
Mm.
That's an old one. It's Betty Davis playing a character, Margot Channing, in All About Eve in 1950. Very interesting.
Black and white.
Yes, it was black and white. Number eight. May the Force be with you.
Well, Star Wars.
Well, who said it?
Mark Hamill, Luke Skywalker.
You would think so. It was Harrison Ford.
Okay.
Who played Han Solo in 1977 Star Wars. Well, lots of people said it, to be honest with you. Number seven. All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
Mm-hmm.
Famous movie.
Mm.
And older people would remember it. Norma Desmond was the character, played by Gloria Swanson in Sunset Boulevard. Why are you laughing?
It could have been a resident. It could have been a resident from Mars, and I wouldn't have gotten it.
All right, number six. Go ahead. Make my day.
Clint Eastwood.
Yes. And what character was he playing?
Oh, Dirty Harry.
Harry Callahan, correct. In the movie of Sudden Impact.
Yes.
It was one of the many Dirty Harry movies, 1983. Okay, number five. Here's looking at you, kid.
Yeah, that's one of your black and white ones.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
That's Humphrey Bogart playing Rick Blaine in Casablanca. Great movie, 1942. Number four. Toto? I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
Ooh.
Who is that?
Oh, it's got to be Wizard of Oz.
No, it's Nancy Pelosi when she was... No, it's actually Wizard of Oz. You're right. Judy Garland, she played Dorothy.
Yeah.
1939. Number three. You don't understand. I could have had class. I could have been a contender. I could have been somebody instead of a bum, which is what I am, let's face it.
I have no idea. Now, that was Nancy Pelosi.
No, it was me asking for a job at WTAN in 2003. No. Marlon Brando, he played Terry Molloy, the character Terry Molloy, on the waterfront. Great, great character that he played, 1954. Number two. I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
Well, yeah, that's Godfather.
Who said it?
Marlon Brando.
Yes. Yeah. Playing Vito Corleone in The Godfather, 1972. All right, Ed, I know you know it. Roll the drum. What do you think is the number one? What's the number one?
You know, I thought I had it early, and I can't remember it now.
Oh, what a...
I can't remember.
I'll give you a big hint.
All right.
Clark Gable said it.
Oh, well, I'm out.
I'll give you another hint.
You might as well dangle $1 million in front of me. Like,
all right. Here it is. I'm going to try and do my best Clark Gable. Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
There you go.
Do you ever hear that one?
Yeah.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
I've heard of it.
All right. That was Rhett Butler, Gone with the Wind, 1939. All right. Thank you so much. We'll be back Monday. And remember, freedom works.
You are my candy girl, and you got me wanting.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.
0.8 million more jobs. Relief talks failing. I'm Mike Moss. Payrolls increased by 1.8 million last month, and unemployment fell to 10.2%. But there are concerns many of the workers who went back to bars and restaurants may be out of work again because of virus surges in the U.S. Here's business correspondent Julia Chatterley.
There are challenges here, too, in that there are 7.7 million people that simply didn't look for work in the last 4 weeks. They'd like a job, they can't find it. When you start...